The reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, and you'll find that on page 76 of the red Bible in the seat in front of you. Exodus 19. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words of the Lord that he had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Make them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, 'Be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death.' They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal should be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain." After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, 'Go down and warn the people, so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them.' Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy.' The Lord replied, 'Go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Aslan is a lion. The lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He is the king, I tell you. He is not safe, but he is good. Many of us will know that great quote from C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Speaking, of course, of our great God, the God of the Bible, someone who is to be feared, the God of the universe, holy, set apart, perfect in every way. Yet the same God who came to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus, to meet us where we are, to die in our place on the cross, that we might be forgiven for living as gods of our lives instead of God. And so showing his immeasurable love for us. He is not safe, but he is good. A helpful summary as we think about Exodus 19, our passage this morning. We've looked at the escape from Egypt over the past few weeks, the Passover and crossing the Red Sea. Last week we saw how slow Israel are in learning to trust and obey God with their miserable grumbling in the desert. But God was teaching them in that desert training ground what it means to trust and obey him. It's a lesson they need to learn because now, as we come to Mount Sinai, God's people are about to receive God's law. The rule book for life as God's people in the land God promised them to live in. When God says something, he means it. Here's what it means to live as his people in the promised land. Will the people trust and obey God's word? Let me lead us in a prayer before we dive into these verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. And we pray that by your spirit, that word may be driven deep into our hearts. Pray that you would use it to shape and change us, that we may know the Lord Jesus more dearly, grow in his likeness, and please equip us to live for you this day and this week. Amen. Will the people trust and obey God's word? That's the issue in focus as we come to Exodus 19, as God's people have finally arrived at Mount Sinai. Because this is it. It's up on the screen. They've arrived at last. Mount Sinai is where God's people have been headed ever since leaving Egypt. God told Moses in chapter 3, verse 12, that the people would worship him here once he brought them out of Egypt. Mount Sinai is the destination of the Exodus. They have arrived at last. The place God's people will receive God's law. The rule book for life as God's people in the land God's promised they'll live in. Mount Sinai is where God's people will stay for the rest of the whole book of Exodus. For another year or so. And seven times Moses will go up on the mountain in the presence of the Lord before the people finally set off again in Numbers 10. So Exodus chapter 19 brings us to a critical moment. God's about to speak to them through his word, give his law, provide the answer to the problem. Now God's rescued them from Egypt. How is it possible for his people to live as God's people in the land God's promised them? For these miserable grumblers to live in a right relationship with the perfect God of the universe. We're going to do two things this morning. First, we're going to look at the big picture of this chapter. If you know Google Earth, we're zoomed way out at the moment, looking down on chapter 19 as a whole. We'll see first what we learn here about God and his people before we zoom the camera in on just three verses. Key building blocks for what it means for us as God's people, as Christians, to live in relationship with him. The same God we trust in. For the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father through faith in him, is the very same God here in Exodus 19. So let's keep our big picture goggles on for a moment. What do we learn about God and his people in chapter 19? Well, two key things, obedience and holiness. Up on the screens, obedience and holiness. I love walking in the Lake District. I spent many summer holidays there on camp, and we've recently begun to take our children. Two or three years ago, Bethany and Josiah both managed to climb one of the fells themselves. And this year at Keswick, we also took little Martha up Catbells. And though it was only Josiah and Bethany who made it to the very top through the blustering gales. I've been up and down some of those mountains many times over the years. Though I've never climbed up and down the same one seven times in one year. Seven times Moses goes up Mount Sinai in the presence of the Lord, but before the people set off again in Numbers 10, a year or so later. And the first three ascents are here in chapter 19. The first ascent is verses 3 to 8a. Moses goes up to God, and in a nutshell, verse 5, God tells Moses to tell the people to be obedient to his word. The law is coming, chapter 20 onwards. 19 verse 5, if you obey me fully, God says, you will be my treasured possession. Next on the screen, verses 3 to 8a, what do we learn about God and his people? That the people are to obey God's word. Here's a note for us. Being part of God's people means being obedient to God's word. Verse 7, Moses descends, tells the elders, we've got to obey God's word. They say, verse 8, yes, we will do everything the Lord has said. What's Moses going to do? Verse 8b, ascent number 2, Moses brings their answer back to the Lord. Ascent number 2 is verses 8b to 15. Moses brings the people's answer back to the Lord, who gives further instruction. The next slide, and be holy. Obey God's word, verses 3 to 8a, and be holy, verse 8b to 15. This is about personal holiness, readiness to receive God's word. Get ready, be prepared, be holy. Verse 10, get your best clothes on. Get ready. Verse 15, Moses tells the people, don't be distracted with one another. It's serious. Get ready. Verses 12 to 13, mark the boundaries. Get ready. Be prepared. Be holy. The God of the universe is coming. And God does come. Verses 16 to 25. And Moses makes his third ascent. And God tells Moses why the preparations were essential. Verse 21, because they will perish if they come near me. Ascent number 3, verses 16 to 25, be holy because God is holy. Because God is holy. God is seriously holy. It's an awesome image of verse 16, the thunder and the lightning, thick cloud over the mountain. You will all know what the Crobra mist is like. It's Crobra mist with thunder and lightning on steroids. It's enough to make you tremble, which everyone in the camp does, verse 16. And then there's the fire, verse 18, billowing like smoke from a furnace. God is holy. We are meant to feel the power and the terror of this revelation, of God coming to his people, but they cannot come before him. He is not safe, but he is good. Obedience and holiness. Obey God's word and be holy because God is holy. He is not safe, but he is good. An overview of Exodus chapter 19 reminds us again of the big problem from chapter 3, where Moses cannot come before God in the burning bush. That this God, the God of the universe, is a holy God. He is perfect in every way. Yet his people are, as we saw last week, miserable grumblers, sinful people, even at our best prepared. Yet God calls Israel to obey his word, to live holy lives because he is holy. How can a holy God and a sinful people ever have any sort of relationship? That the two just seem simply incompatible. Two households, both alike in dignity. In Fair Verona, where we lay our scene, from ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life. like Romeo and Juliet's ill-fated love story. How can a holy God and a sinful people ever have any sort of relationship? The two are simply incompatible. Yet relationship is possible. Real relationship is possible. God is a rescuing God. He's committed to his people and his promises, and he calls us to commit to him. It's worth spending the rest of our time zooming our Google Earth camera in on three verses. Key building blocks for what it means for us as Christians, God's people trusting in the Lord Jesus, to live in right relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus. What does it mean for us to obey God's word in our lives? Well, real relationship with God is possible. That's the headline here, verses 4 to 6, a real relationship with God, living as Christians. These are God's words to Moses on his first ascent of the mountain. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Real relationship is possible. And it's possible because God is the rescuing God. Relationship begins with God. Verse 4, God has rescued us. God has rescued us. God has already done something for his people. It's the very first thing God reminds them of. Do you remember, back in Egypt, God begins with what he's done for them. Relationship with God begins with what God has done for us. Grace comes before law. Always. God gives to us freely and undeserved by grace before law. Christianity is not about what we do, but what Jesus has done. Do you have a favourite Bible verse? Perhaps you remember the first verse you ever learnt. I had some firsts at Sunday school. I was the first, in fact, only person ever to be smacked at Sunday school. That was a low moment for me. More noteworthy of remembrance, though, is the first memory verse I ever learnt. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. By grace, through faith in Christ, God's gift of faith to us makes real in our lives all that Jesus has done on the cross. Taking the punishment we deserve for living as gods of our lives instead of God. You know, whether that's ignoring God completely, or perhaps deciding we're going to try and make ourselves holy and acceptable by our good works. God's gift of faith to us makes real in our lives all that Jesus has done on the cross. Doing what we could never do by our good works. Bringing holiness to us. Not earned by our works, but instead Jesus' holiness is given to us that we might be holy. God has rescued us by grace through the gift of faith in the Lord Jesus. God has rescued us. And having been rescued, sinful Ben brought into relationship with the holy God because Jesus' holiness has been given to me, God expects us to obey his word, to live for him. Next on the screens, verse 5a, God expects us to obey his word. In light of all God's done for his people, God now expects his people to obey his word, to live for him. Grace comes before law. We must never forget that. But law does come. God instructs his people to obey his word, to keep the law. But God isn't saying, keep the law and I'll be gracious to you. Rather, he's saying, I have been gracious to you, now keep the law. God's already done the thing that's needed doing, rescue. God has rescued us by grace through faith in Jesus, now God expects us to obey his word. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I didn't learn verse 10 as a child. Maybe my bum was still smarting from the smack. Yeah, but it's another gem. Christians aren't saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. Christians aren't saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. So as Christians, as those trusting in the Lord Jesus, who have faith in the Lord Jesus, we do need to live as Christians, which is more than just being Christians. It's the difference between saying, "I am a Christian," and "I live as a Christian," or what we might call discipleship, living for Jesus, obeying God's word in our lives. God expects us to obey his word, to live for him, but grace comes before law. Our obedience doesn't earn grace. Grace promotes obedience. As we know God's grace in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, grace transforms our lives to be more like Jesus, who was perfectly obedient to his Heavenly Father, which is where we find ourselves then experiencing the blessing of being in that relationship with God. Exodus 19, verse 5b, "If we are obedient to God, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." God expects us to obey his word, to live for him. And finally on the screen, so God promises we'll know his blessing. God promises we'll know his blessing. If Israel will obey the Lord's command, she will know the privilege of her special relationship with God. A treasured possession. A kingdom of priests. A holy nation. Are you a Christian who wants to walk more closely with God in your life? Do you want to experience the Holy Spirit filling every part of your life, transforming it all for Christ? Well, let me tell you how these things will happen, and I can promise you they will happen, because God promises they will happen here in these verses. Be obedient to the word of God. Verse 5, "If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then you will be my treasured possession." God expects us to obey his word, to live for him, and God promises if we do so, we will know his blessing, an intimacy of relationship with him, and a growing Christ-likeness in every part of our lives. This isn't about gaining or losing our relationship with God. As we turn and trust in the Lord Jesus, he has rescued us. But if we want to know the blessing of that relationship in the experience of our lives, an intimacy with God and a growing Christ-likeness in every part of our lives, be obedient to the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Do not quench the Spirit. Be obedient to the word of God in every part of our lives." Give to God what's rightfully his, our whole lives, in obedience to his word, our relationships and our wallets, our dreams and our desires, the things we long for and the things we long to be, the things we long others to be. Make those things obedient to the word of God, and God promises we will know his blessing in our lives. This isn't about our status as Christians, which comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, but about our experience of what it means to be in relationship with God. Can you be a miserable Christian? Yes. We shouldn't be, but we may well be. Trust and obey. John Samis knew it as he wrote the old hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way, to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. If you're a miserable Christian, what are you not trusting God with? Where are you not living wholeheartedly for Jesus in your life? Where are you not obeying God's word fully? Half-hearted, lukewarm, miserable Christians we can all be. Don't miss out from the Lord what's ours to have because of Jesus. Trusting in Jesus, our status has changed. God has rescued us. We have a privileged status, a right relationship with God. We are his treasured possession. We have free access to the God of the universe, a kingdom of priests who can come before the Lord. His ear is ours in prayer. There is no condemnation. We can stand before him, washed in the blood of the Lamb, no fear, Exodus 19:21, that we will perish in his presence. So live for Jesus. Live in the likeness of God our Saviour. Be the holy nation we are, that we might delight and glory in the God who's done all this for us. And that the world may see the glory of the God who transforms human lives, making empty, broken vessels shine with the glory of Christ. That 2 Thessalonians 1:10, God is glorified in his holy people and marveled at among those who have believed. As we finish now, one writer notes that the true mark of God's people, the genuineness of the people of God, is that they possess, they listen to, and they obey the word of God. Don't just be a Christian. Live as a Christian in obedience to God's word. Not to earn grace, but because of grace received. God is not safe, but he is good. We can be sure of it, and we can rejoice in it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what can we do but praise you for who you are? The Holy God who rescues us by grace, calling us to obedience and giving us your word and spirit that we might live for you, that you might be glorified in us and in your world. And that we might experience the blessing of intimacy with you and growing Christ-likeness in every part of our lives. We pray that we might be holy because you are holy, delighting to obey your word, living for you, and knowing the joy of being in a right relationship with you through the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray now. Amen.